We are starting a new sermon series today. Our usual pattern is that we pick a book of the Bible and we work through the book of the Bible chapter by chapter, and we let God's word frame the questions that we're asking week by week. And I think actually that approach, it's healthy if we do things that way most of the time. But as I've been speaking with you, as I've been watching world events, I've realized that there are some specific issues that are really on your mind, or maybe that your friends are thinking about, and issues that need a thoughtful response. I'm calling these hot button issues. And in this series, my aim is to help us apply the grace and truth of the gospel to these hot button issues. And so this series will go for 4 weeks, and I've settled on 4 issues that I think are pressing on us in 2021. Vaccines, racism, domestic violence, and gay pride. Now, I realise that these are all potentially divisive issues. And so before I start, I would like to say 2 things. First of all, that my aim is not to come at this from a political angle. I'm not going to be focused on what governments should be doing or should have been doing. My aim is to preach the Bible and to focus on how we as the people of God can live godly lives. The second thing is that it's really important that we remember what we've been learning from Philippians over the last month or so about the importance of unity with one another and humility toward one another. Please, we can discuss these issues, but let's not divide over these issues. Let's seek to take on Christ-like humility toward one another. And so actually, can we pray and ask for God's help to do that now? Let's pray. Please, Lord, give us humility now as we listen to your word. Please give me wisdom to resist just giving my own opinions. Please enable me to teach your word faithfully. Please shine the light of your gospel on our daily lives and decisions so that we delight together in our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay then, well, we're going to have our Bible reading, and Annette is with us here on Zoom to read it. Annette, are you there?
Yes, hello.
Fantastic, over to you.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. So as Andrew begins our new sermon series, let's hear from God's word, and it's taken from Mark chapter 3, verses 1 to 6, and it's titled, Jesus Heals on the Sabbath. Another time, Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with a shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and, deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. May God give us an understanding of his word. Thank you.
So, should you get the COVID vaccine? Should you encourage others to get it? These feel like the most pressing questions of 2021. But how does the Bible shape our response to the issue? I mean, we can't simply just turn to the chapter that's all about vaccines because, well, there isn't one. But then again, nor are there chapters in the Bible about nuclear weapons or internet pornography or international air travel, and yet the Bible is full of principles which apply to all these things. Do you remember what Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16? All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so even though there is no verse in the Bible which says you must or you must not be vaccinated, we do expect that God's word is relevant to all the important life issues. Now, that doesn't mean that we only consult the Bible and that we silence the voice of science. In fact, you read the book of Proverbs and there's encouragements about observation and learning in our world. I'd like to be clear, I'm no doctor. I'm definitely not here this morning to give you personal medical advice. It's really not my job to tell you about the benefits or the shortcomings of AstraZeneca or Pfizer or any other vaccine. But what I'm looking to do today is to help us take on a gospel-shaped way of approaching life in the real world. Now, we're looking for biblical principles which will help us decide what to do about the medical information that's available. From the Bible this morning, I'm going to focus on the passage we just read, Mark chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. And in this passage, we'll learn three things about Jesus. And then we'll consider how these three things might help us bring grace and truth to the issue of the COVID vaccine. So come with me. Come with me to a country town called Capernaum. It's the Sabbath day. It's the day where God's people were commanded to rest. And on this day, Jesus goes into the synagogue. So synagogue was a place a bit like this church building, I guess. And when he arrives, he finds that the local religious leaders have set up a test for him. Because inside the synagogue, there is a man with a shriveled hand. See, Jesus has become famous as a healer. He has power from God to cure people of sickness and disability. But the religious leaders have picked up that Jesus has a bit of a different approach to the Sabbath than they have. They think that Jesus might be a bit soft on Sabbath keeping, because in the previous chapter, the last story is when Jesus' disciples are walking and picking bits of wheat and snacking on the Sabbath day, and for the Pharisees, this just seemed a bit too much like work. And so you notice verse 2, some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, and so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. So the question, is Jesus going to have a day off? Maybe he'll tell the man to come back tomorrow. Or is Jesus going to heal him today? This situation is what we might call an ethical dilemma. So an ethical dilemma is when you have two options and both of the options seem to have some sort of problem with them. In heaven, I don't expect that we'll face ethical dilemmas, but the fact is, in a broken world, we often do. We face choices where there seem to be problems either way. And so here, the dilemma is that, okay, on the one hand, with one option, Jesus misses full enjoyment of the Sabbath. And on the other hand, a man will be left with only one arm that he can use. And we know which option Jesus chooses. So that brings us to the first thing that we learn about Jesus. Jesus faced ethical dilemmas, but this didn't prevent him from doing good. And this is relevant when we come to the COVID vaccine debate. In fact, last year, pretty much the first Christian objection to the vaccines that I heard came from a leader who pointed out that some of the COVID vaccines have been either tested or produced using cell lines that originally came from an aborted fetus. And so there is some sort of ethical dilemma. I mean, put very simply, the question is, would we be profiting from abortions by taking the vaccines? If you look into it, the cell lines that are involved here are very old. It's not as if a baby was killed in order to make these vaccines. Rather, what happened is that some of the tissue of a baby that had already died 50 years ago was then used for medical research. And so I think that the dilemma when it comes to the abortion side of things is very small. And it shouldn't stop us from moving ahead if we've got something that could save the lives of today's children. Anyway, back to Jesus. Jesus calls the man up the front. He's going to do this with everyone looking on. He's not going to do it secretly because he's convinced that healing is the right thing to do. And look at the question Jesus asks in verse 4. Which is lawful on the Sabbath? To do good or to do evil? To save life or to kill? Jesus only gives two options here. Good, evil, save life, kill. Now, Jesus doesn't allow for some neutral, middle option. Either he's going to heal this man and bring him relief, or he will leave this man to go on in his suffering. So the second thing we learn about Jesus is that, at least in this story, he removed the option of doing nothing. And okay, that's relevant because, well, at the moment in our lives, in a whole lot of areas of our lives, either we're taking steps to prevent the spread of the virus or we're not. Although, we can recognize perhaps the specific question of whether to take the vaccine isn't quite as clear-cut as the question of will Jesus miraculously heal this man's hand? Because Jesus was a guaranteed cure. And we understand that the vaccine is not a magic bullet. Just the vaccine by itself isn't the solution to all the problems we're facing. It's still possible for vaccinated people to catch the virus and still possible for vaccinated people to pass on the virus. The modern nation of Israel is working through that at the moment. But having said that, it does seem to be evidence that vaccines reduce the amount of transmission and the seriousness of the symptoms and the strain on hospitals. I realise that all the different opinions about the vaccine can get really confusing, and especially as more stuff comes to light over time. And so if you're not sure what to make of it all, my suggestion is why not go and ask your doctor for the best current info? Preferably a real interactive doctor that you can talk to, someone that you trust. I think that's better than completely relying on Dr. Google. The director of the American National Health Institutes is Dr. Francis Collins. He oversaw the development of the COVID vaccines in the USA, and He attends one of our sister congregations in the Presbyterian Church in America. And I'll read something that he said. If we are called to be agents of healing, and if we're trying to model ourselves after Christ, who spent so much of his time on earth in healing activities, that leads us in the direction to be actors who can take advantage of what science in God's grace has given us as a means of ending this terrible pandemic. Think for a moment. Why was Jesus convinced that he needed to do something? I mean, Jesus didn't shrivel the man's hand. If Jesus doesn't heal him today, the man's no worse than he was yesterday. So what is the big deal? But I'd like to point out something about Jesus and his teaching, which is actually different to every other religion, as far as I'm aware. So in traditional religions, Confucianism, Buddhism, Hinduism, you'll find statements that go something like this. What I do not wish men to do to me, I also wish not to do to men. I think a lot of people live like that today. If you wouldn't want someone to do it to you, then don't do it to someone else. But do you realize that Jesus goes much further than that? Jesus puts it in the positive. Jesus said, in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. This is love. This is not just do no harm. This is think about others, think about what's best for them, and pursue that. And so Jesus is living out the love of God, and he cares about this man. He's not going to leave this man in physical suffering a day longer. And so he says, stretch out your hand. And the man obviously trusted Jesus because he stretched it out and his hand was completely restored. And I imagine he went home full of thankfulness. However, it's fair to say not everyone felt that way. Because in verse 6, the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. They saw that, this popular healer Jesus, he's not on their side. And so instead of celebrating the mercy of Jesus, they only see him as a threat to be destroyed. And was Jesus surprised by the way they reacted? No, not at all. You've got in the previous chapter a situation where it says he knew what they were thinking. Which brings us to the third thing we learn about Jesus here. He was willing to risk his life to fulfill his Father's will. Because in the end, Jesus' enemies got what they wanted. Jesus was put to death. Jesus was executed as a criminal. Not that he was found guilty of doing anything criminal. Ironically, Jesus ended up suffering on the cross because he consistently loved people and helped people and spoke words of grace and truth to people. And Jesus knew that this was risky, but for him that was okay because he wasn't driven by self-preservation. Jesus was driven by his Father's love. Which meant that in this circumstance, Jesus was willing to heal, even if that's going to come back as personal suffering. And actually, in this way, all Jesus' miracles of healing point us to the reason that he came. Because when Jesus gave up his life, it was in connection with the greatest healing of all. By his death, he dealt with our sins, our stubbornness, our failures, of love. Because can any of us honestly say that in everything we've done to others, what we would have them do to us? I can't say that. In a sense, sin is the most deadly pandemic in the human race. Because, well, sin's been transmitted to all of us, and sin leads to eternal death. Unless it's dealt with. And by his death, Jesus dealt with our sin in a way far more definite and lasting than any vaccine ever will be. And by his resurrection, he gives us a life in which we will be fully healed, where there'll be no side effects, where we will be with him forever. Isn't that good? And that is at the core of what we believe. And this good news is meant to change us. In 2 Corinthians, it says, Christ's love compels us. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Friends, through Christ's death, we no longer live for ourselves. We are driven by love and not by self-preservation. In fact, a life lived well for Jesus is going to involve many kinds of risks, which is important because, okay, we're sort of in a no-risk society. And so the vaccine conversation is often based on fear. And actually, you see it on both sides of the debate. Pro-vaccine arguments can be driven by fear of what might happen to you if you get COVID. And anti-vaccine arguments can be about what might happen to you if you get the vaccine. And so sure, being aware of risks is sensible. And in some ways, the question, how bad is COVID versus how safe are the vaccines, that's another one of those ethical dilemmas that we have to weigh up. But let's weigh it up using the right set of scales. Because more important than the question, what's safest for me, is the question, what choices line up with love for God and love for my neighbour? I mean, asking that question, we want to consider not only our neighbour's physical health, we want to be aware of mental health and jobs and the opportunities that we want to have as a church to share this good news of eternal life in Jesus with our neighbours. And so, have I answered the question, how does the gospel shape our attitude toward vaccines? Well, this topic actually came up earlier this year at the Presbyterian Church of Victoria General Assembly. So the General Assembly is when it's when more than 100 ministers and elders got together. You know, it was in that little window of time where we could get big groups together like that. And after quite a bit of debate, approved a statement. And I'd like to share the three specific parts of this statement with you because I found it helpful. And so the General Assembly decided to encourage those in the Presbyterian Church of Victoria to have themselves vaccinated at the earliest opportunity. So if you looking for a clear encouragement, here it is. It's not a law, it's a gentle encouragement. But also, the Assembly said we want to assure believers that this matter is a question of wisdom, not righteousness, meaning believers can come to differing views. See, love your neighbour, that's a matter of righteousness. How exactly? What's your strategy? Well, the specific application of this vaccine or that vaccine or no vaccine just yet, that is a matter of wisdom. And so, let each of you be convinced in your own mind as you use the best information available to make love-driven decisions. And of course, we realize there might be medical reasons or personal reasons why it's not appropriate for you to get the vaccine at this time. Finally, and importantly, urge believers to maintain love and affection for fellow believers who disagree with the stance they've taken. Chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And I think we can do that. I mean, it would be inconsistent with the gospel of grace for us to get self-righteous about vaccines, wouldn't it? And so if you think differently to me on this issue, there's actually room for that. I love you as a brother or sister in Christ. And while we do need to make some sort of choice about vaccines, it's the central things. It's the gospel things. It's the things which are made crystal clear in the Bible that define us and that bring us together. And so let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will enable us to live in love, not for ourselves, but for you and for our neighbours. Lord, we pray that you'll give us wisdom to know what to do with the information we have. Lord, we pray most of all for your mercy. There's very few things in this pandemic which are within our control, but all things are within your power. And so we pray for your mercy on our church, on our city, and on our world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.